before we start the podcast today, it is Giving Tuesday. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We do have a goal of raising $5,000 by the end of today. And I hope I'm not super embarrassed that I made a $5,000 goal, because that would be super embarrassing if we don't even get close to it. So to save me from my embarrassment, will you please go to btr.org, donate today on Giving Tuesday so that we can reach our $5,000 goal, and please mark your donation as recurring to support this podcast. Also, super exciting news, starting December 1st, our Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club is going to provide 6 sessions for women, one every weekday at various times, and on Tuesday, it will have a daytime and a nighttime session. We did a survey with the current members of the Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club, and that's what they asked for. And we have women who are interested in joining in Australia and the UK, so we have to provide different times. Go to our site, btr.org, to check on those new times and register right away by clicking on the schedule and join button. And now, today's podcast. Welcome to Betrayal Trauma Recovery. This is Anne. I'm so grateful to have one of our clients on today. Her name is Elsie, and she found Betrayal Trauma Recovery and has been listening to the podcast and using our services. Welcome, Elsie.
Thank you for having me.
What was your marriage like before you found out about your husband's lying and emotional abuse and compulsive sexual behaviors?
We got along well. He was egotistical, but he was fun-loving and generally polite. He did have some anger issues, or at least that's what I thought it was. But if I were to describe my marriage from the beginning in one word, it would be sexless. Because we were older, I think sex was not as much a priority for me as it may have been for someone younger, but I did miss it. He didn't seem to, however. After a certain period of starvation, I would mention it to him. He would usually defend himself, offer reasons for why it didn't happen, and then make a half-hearted advance, which usually left me feeling a little bit like a beggar. There was no initiation toward me. I mean, there was usually compliance if I said something about it, but there was no initiation towards me. And after a while, it hurt a lot. I gained a lot of weight. I got depressed, and I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea.
How old are you for our listeners?
56.
And when did you get married?
We got married 8 years ago, but we've been together for 10.
Okay. So you were 45-ish when you met him?
Yep. Yep. And we got married about 2.5 years later.
And was that your first marriage?
No, it was not.
Okay.
We were not believers in God at the time. There was a conversion experience came as this all happened. He suggested to me, you start going to church, when I began discovering things. And so I went right down that path, and it was the best path I could have taken to help me deal with everything that was coming my way.
And how did you find out what was going on?
The first time I discovered something, it was quite by chance. I was moved to pick up his iPod and take a look at it, which I never did. I had total trust in him, but something moved me one day to pick up his iPod, and I did. And I discovered that he was looking on Craigslist at the personals. And I questioned him about it. He gave me an excuse and said that, oh, it's just free pornography. And I remember telling him, well, that's a little close to home, because it was a city about a half an hour away from us. I said, why don't you look in Ontario, Canada? You know?
So at the time, then, did you not think pornography was a bad thing?
I kind of looked at it as casual use occasionally for him, was no big deal.
Okay.
It made me uneasy. I mean, remember, I was living in a virtually sexless marriage, and then he's looking at this, but I had no knowledge of any of what I know now.
Got it.
So okay. I just wrote it off, and eventually I was moved again when he'd gone in to take a shower, and something moved me to go pick up his phone. So I did. And I went to the all male section of his phone, and there I found his ad, the ad he had placed.
Oh.
And that was pretty much the start of the ball rolling. I discovered that he had actually linked up with someone. That was the first real element of infidelity that I found. It was the first of a lot. I was very disturbed by it. Something prompted me to go to Craigslist and plug in the email address and see if I could access the account that he might have had. And I did. And I discovered that he had been on it for 14 months. Now, he was offshore, so he was home for a month and gone out on the rig for a month. And then he had posted 148 postings in all the various cities that he had been in. It was shocking, to say the least. I contacted him about it, and he was immediately defensive. But the defenses began to build from the time I made my first discovery in September. That was the first step forward in me becoming the enemy.
I love that. There's no way you can get around his perception that I'm the enemy. That's really good.
And I was. There's no question about it. I was. I was the one who had cracked the shell of secrecy. When I found his posting, I became a pretty determined bulldog. And what I sunk my teeth into, I wasn't going to let go of until I got some answers. I had been advised by Christian people, let it go, just forgive him. Like I said to you, I believe that a lot of this was God-led for my safety and probably for the sole purpose of just disclosing it and getting it out in the open, you know, bringing to light what's done in the dark.
Absolutely. Because God loves you, right?
Yes, ma'am, he does. And he's shown that through this traumatic experience over and over and over again.
You mentioned a few things that were not super helpful, you know, some Christian people who mentioned forgiveness or just sweeping under the rug. Can you talk more about the things you tried or where you turned for help?
I immediately sought out counseling, and this man looked at me and said, well, what you're looking at is the tip of the iceberg. That resonated with me, but he went on to some very brash and hard language, and I immediately knew that he was the wrong guy. You're not where I belong. So I sought out another counselor, and I found one. She basically took a pretty bad situation and made it worse. She diagnosed him with PTSD, offered no counseling on any level for me. Every focus was toward him. I was not treating him properly. I needed to understand that he wasn't well because he was suffering from PTSD. Essentially, counseling-wise, I was abandoned. So I continued on over the course of time. And in 2014, I sought out a local church, contacted this pastor, met with him, explained my circumstances. He vowed to do all he could. Of course, that didn't help. I found that even he began to be bitter towards me because I was obviously not forgiving enough. Yeah, that was a lot of what was called for, was being forgiving. I was never allowed to express anger. That would have been inappropriate. Nobody had any real answers at this point. And I did eventually wind up finding a Christian counselor. We both went in. I went in, and then he went in, and then we went in, and it was some form of marriage counseling. And she was ill-equipped, albeit a very good counselor. She was ill-equipped to deal with this. She referred him over to someone else, but the behaviors didn't stop. One relapse led to the termination of his job. We couldn't afford the counselors anymore, so it stopped entirely. Not long after that, I left for about 3 months. And I got a call from him one day and saying he really wanted help. We got back together and met with a minister who began giving us spiritual counseling. I saw some change in my spouse. He seemed to be reaching towards God, and it was the only change I've ever seen. And it lasted about 6 weeks. He saw a medical doctor who sought to help him with medication, and that just destroyed the peace that he had found, albeit briefly. He began treating him for low testosterone using a synthetic steroid or a synthetic hormone, synthetic testosterone. Oh. And I will tell you, that is injectable toxicity when it comes to
A sex addict.
Yes.
Yeah. So the doctor starts injecting him with testosterone, and things get worse.
He gave it to him to come home and do himself.
If I had to guess, now I'm no therapist, but this is a twofold issue here. Number one, a doctor is telling him, this isn't a mental problem. This isn't something you need to work on. All you need to do is have this testosterone injection and it will solve your problems. So there's this mental shift. Then there's the actual testosterone surging through his body. Because I found that anything that anyone suggests, it could be just a tiny little thing, like, this is PTSD, or this, or this is that, to give them an excuse for their abusive behaviors takes the pressure off of them to change and keeps them in the abuse cycle and in the mental state of narcissism, or, you know, whatever that sexual mess of chaos that they've got going on in their brain. It seems like any little suggestion that it's something else, if they're not in recovery, can get them off track, because they're like, oh, good, I don't have to be accountable for my behaviors.
And he was not. In my opinion, any PTSD he was suffering from at the time stemmed directly from my reaction to all my discoveries. He was traumatized at being outed because he didn't show any other signs of trauma. Well, he does, and I won't deny that. Serious childhood trauma. What ails him began many, many years ago at a time in his life when it was well out of his control. However, the general attitude was not one of recovery. It was, you're the problem. Stop badgering me. Just be happy where you are. And of course, the constant promises that I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it anymore, which was not true.
Right.
Until I found BTR, no one out there validated my experiences in any of this. Anytime we sought help elsewhere, all focus went to him. And any focus that went to me was, you're making it worse. You're making it worse. I felt blamed in some ways. I was already being blamed by him.
Right. And then the help that you seek out is also traumatizing. So how did you find BTR?
This is very interesting. Let me preface this by saying that over the summer, I took a course in biblical human sexuality. And during that time, I realized how very much I missed intimacy, gentle touch, kissing, flirtation, romance, and sex. And then the following class, a class that I followed that up with, was a class on shepherding women in pain. And then I really began to recognize the abuse. This was just pure abuse. So I've had these two classes back to back, hours and hours of crying, still no one there to really validate anything. And I had this just cry out, God, where are you in all this pain? Tears rolling down my face, snot bubbles, the whole shebang. I came in my room, I got down on my knees, and I just prayed and just begged God to bring me some relief, please. I know he was with me that night, but I didn't feel it. I was just too emotionally distraught. So eventually I fell asleep. I woke up the next morning feeling remarkably refreshed. I went to my computer, went to Covenant Eyes for some reason. I don't even remember why. Someone posting in a forum on there commented about BTR for women. And I clicked on it. And the rest is history. BTR was a godsend to me. This was, in my opinion, God's answer to, where are you in all this pain? And so he brought me to BTR, which has really helped a lot in making sense of what I've been dealing with.
And that's why I started BTR, was to make sense of what I was dealing with. I prayed and prayed to know what to do. Do I let my husband back in the house? Do I start talking to him, or do I file for divorce? I don't know. And God's answer to me was, start a podcast.
I'm glad.
I was like,
I'm glad.
What?
Yep. I'm glad. And I'm glad God did that, because, well, had he not, then he would not have prompted me to come to you. It is a godsend. It's definitely a godsend. BTR gives women an opportunity to be validated. If I were to summarize it all into one word, there's validation for us through BTR.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's what God wants us and needs us to hear, that we are not the problem and that he loves us, and that all of the blame and the gaslighting and all of those things that we've experienced made us really question our own worth. And I think God just wants us to know that we are enough and that he loves us. So, Elsie, you joined Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club. How did it meet your needs more than any of the options you tried before?
I had never done any kind of group of any kind prior to going into a BTR group. So I don't really have anything else to compare it to. I think the BTR groups stand quite well on their own merits. They give you support and feedback. The groups are run by APSAT trained coaches. Coach Ray, she's excellent. If you want to just listen, you can. No pressure. But the ladies that are in there, as well as the coach who has had her own experience, they understood my plight. They understood this specific type of predicament that I am in, and they offered tremendous support. It helps to know you're not alone and that there are other people out there who have sorted through it, like the coach, and other people who are sorting through it and sharing of ideas. And you know, like if you throw something out there, someone will give you a little feedback on it and maybe expound on it a little further. That's excellent for those of us who need connection with others, who need validation. BTR offers that.
Women are trying to figure it out, right? They are working really hard. They're reading books. They're learning. They're seeking out therapy. But unless someone who has been through it before or really understands it can help give them the words to say, it's hard to like describe exactly what's happening, but it's so liberating to hear someone else say the thing that you're trying to figure out, and they say it out loud, and you're like, oh, that's what I've been trying to say. I just didn't have the words before now.
Oh, you,
and I think that is so helpful.
Yes, you are right. Remember now, I've been studying for several years now, and nowhere in what I have studied was this ever really expounded upon. I'd never heard the term reactive abuse until Coach Ray brought it to me. I was often accused by my spouse of being very damaging to him in lashing out after the constant onslaught of anger towards me. Or if I tried to communicate with him, being belittled or shut down, just he would get up and just disengage and, you know, or yell at me or break things or a wide variety of totally negative behaviors. Then in time, I would lash back. And then all the fingers would be pointed at me, you know, because now I have actually bruised the narcissist. Now I'm the bad guy. I didn't know that it was reactive abuse until one of the BTR coaches, Coach Ray, defined it for me. She connected me with literature that defined it very clearly. Well, I realized, one, it's wrong, that I need to stop being reactive and be more proactive in my own healing.
I think I did the same thing. All the ways that I like really nitpicked him about cutting the tomatoes or his bonsai tree or whatever it was. I think about those times and I would say to him during those fights, I just don't feel loved right now. And he said to me flat out, I don't love you. I love the kids more than you. Or I can't love you because you're terrible. I just didn't feel secure enough. I think I was just getting to this point where I was so irritable about little things. And I've learned now that trying to make him love me wasn't ever going to result in me feeling loved. Like I needed to set boundaries around that. And that's how I could feel secure. But at the time, that was all I knew how to do. And I can see now how unhealthy it was. But back then, I felt like I was just grasping for reassurance and for security in just the strangest of ways. It's kind of embarrassing to think back on it and think, oh my gosh, did I really say that or do that?
Do not be embarrassed. We grasp for any number of things to try to make sense of what we're experiencing. I lost 80 pounds and underwent plastic surgery. So talk about drastic. I was 232 pounds. I'm almost 5'11". I was 232 pounds. I lost 80 pounds. I went down to 153 pounds, my high school weight. My children were worried about me. I elected to go have facial plastic surgery so I would look better, worried about my aging. It was crazy, you know, all the while believing that, you know, God wanted to heal our marriage. And I still believe God wants to heal marriages. But,
absolutely.
But yeah. When it comes right down to it, God heals the individuals and they subsequently, drawing more towards God, find the marriage healed. God does not place the institution of marriage above humans, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's no way the marriage can heal without the individual being healed, because abuse and pornography use are not marriage issues. They're not communication issues. They are abuse issues. Two people cannot resolve abuse. It has to be 100% the abuser taking accountability and making amends for his actions, as well as seeking a change of heart. There's just no other way around it. There's no way you can love and forgive and serve an abuser out of abusing you. Just does not work that way. Unfortunately, I think all of us want that, because then we would have a little bit more control. I think all of us tried that route, right? If I love and serve and blah, 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 then. Going back to your experience with BTR, before we close today, is there anything you'd like to share with our listeners about your experience with betrayal trauma recovery?
Yes. I would like to say that this is not something a woman can go alone. You know, you can't do this alone. You have got to have a community of people who understand what you're going through, what your experiences are, who through their experiences and training can validate you, help you to make sense of this. My Christian counselor had encouraged me to get into a community, which I could not find one, by the way. There were none in my local community. I just didn't have anything around me to help me out. And when I got into BTR, I went onto the Facebook page first. There, I discovered numerous women who were having the same experience as I was having. Some having separated and moved on, some fully healed, some still in the process of healing, some just starting out. But collectively, there is this unified understanding. It fit. It fit my circumstances. It gave me a place to go where I knew whatever I would say concerning these circumstances would be well received and understood, because these women that are in there are experiencing the same things. And I was amazed at how similar, even though our stories are often very different in their specifics, the underlying abuse and the gaslighting, it was all very similar. I found a sisterhood in the women on BTR. I really like Coach Ray. She is the one I speak to. You know, I bring my head into the conversation, but she gives me another head to help sound off ideas. And two heads are better than one.
And she's got a good one.
She's got a great one. I really, really like her. And then, of course, you know, like the Facebook group is there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go in and you can express your thoughts and your opinions in a post. And even if it's 3 a.m. and nobody responds back, when you wake up in the morning, someone has stepped forward to say, you know, I'm praying for you, or I understand your pain, or, you know, validating it with a similar experience. It's mattered. It's made a difference to me. A big one.
I am so glad to hear that. When I started BTR, I wanted to provide women with all the things that we haven't had. And I wanted to make it available all online so that women anywhere could find it. There are some women who are lucky enough to immediately find an amazing therapist, for example, or some type of support group in their area. But there are more of us who have tried and tried and tried and been unable to find that community that we needed. So Elsie just talked about our free Facebook group. It is not moderated by our coaches, but it is moderated by women who are in recovery. They help moderate the group to make sure it's safe. If you want to join that free group, go to btr.org and scroll down, and you can enter your email and you will get an email back that gives you instructions about how to join the free Facebook group. And then if you want to join Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club, go to our site. You can go to schedule and join. Our Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club gives you access to 6 APSATS-led group sessions per week. That's one every weekday at different times, and there are 2 on Tuesdays. So keep an eye out for that schedule. It will be posted very soon at btr.org. The more women that join Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club, the more sessions we will add. And then, of course, Elsie also talked about having individual support calls. Coach Ray is the coach that Elsie sees, but Coach Sarah, for example, she is really good with women trying to help them with their children understand it. And then Coach Lara is in a very loving and a healthy relationship with a recovered addict. So, and so is Coach Kat. Coach Ray is an expert at divorce. If you want to learn more, you can email Coach Ray at ray@btr.org, and she'll be happy to answer your questions about perhaps which coach would be best for you. Or we recommend scheduling an appointment with Coach Lara. If you're like, I don't even know what to do, just schedule an appointment with Coach Lara. She can give you like a lot of different options. And then a lot of people from there go, oh, this is the coach I need, or this is the group I want to join. So Elsie, thanks so much for coming on today to talk about your experience. We appreciate you as a client and so grateful that you found us. Also grateful to God for bringing all of us together. And my hope is that through His grace and through His mercy, that as we become more healthy, we can be a force for good in the world, which I think is what He wants from us, which I think is why He's gathering us all together.
I agree.
To make this world a better place.
I agree. And I would encourage any women out there who have the financial means to do so, to contribute, to donate to BTR. If you have the means to donate, I encourage you ladies, please donate, because this organization is truly a help. And I do believe it is God blessed.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. We do need your donations. I would love to provide our services for free, because during this horrific time, they're also having serious financial problems. We understand that. And unfortunately, the training that our APSATS coaches receive and all the things that we do here at BTR cost money to provide this for women. And so we can't provide things for free. Just know that if we could, we would, but that we too are in the similar situations to what our listeners have been in. I'm a single mom now, and this is how I make my living. And same with the coaches. Just know that our hearts are with you, and that we too have been in those very difficult financial situations. And even $2 donation is huge for us. It really, really helps us. So thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it. Again, our goal for this Giving Tuesday is to raise $5,000. That will help cover the costs so far of all the website costs, the podcast, the technical costs that we have, and all of the costs we've had so far related to every service that we provide on Betrayal Trauma Recovery. Go to btr.org. Make perhaps a generous donation today, and then a monthly donation of $5 or $10 to keep this podcast going and keep this information coming to you. If this podcast is helpful to you, please rate it on iTunes or whatever other podcasting service you use. Every single rating increases our ranking on search engines and helps women who are isolated find us. And I want to do one more shout out to the new schedule with Betrayal Trauma Recovery Club starting December 1st. That will be only $100 a month, which is about the same or less than one therapy session, which will allow you to have access to 6 APSATS-led group sessions per week, one every single weekday. Love you guys. I hope you're having a great holiday season. And until next week, stay safe out there.